Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
And would you turn in your Bibles online? Those who have yours in-house, and if not, on the screen. Matthew chapter 14, verse 15 to 21, and Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 to 39. The title that I had prescribed, felt in my spirit from the Lord from so long ago to preach, was this, that there is must be compassion for physical limitations. Matthew 14, 15 to 21. This is after John the Baptist was beheaded. Jesus feeds the 5,000. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass, and Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to his disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. We heard this message masterfully preached last week, and you can go online and get that message or go on Trinity Broadcast TV and see it. But it was masterfully done, and those of you that participated in it remember, he shared with us it's over 20,000 if you add it together, and that there was only 5 loaves, 2 fish, but at the end of it, 12 baskets. I have to ask this question. He didn't ask it, so I get to ask a fresh one. If it was 12 baskets, and how many disciples did Jesus have? So did every disciple have a basket to go home with? So that just shows you that when we bless God with what we think we don't have, we go home with what? More than we had in the beginning. Isn't that the principle of giving? More than we had. So I thank God for that. Now, I was twinning that with this second text because our theme today, as we prepare for our 2 weeks of mission focus and watching the supernatural that we were talked about last week, it come into play. Here's the next text, Matthew 15, verse 29 to 39. Matthew 15, 29 to 39, Jesus heals many people. Jesus returned, here's the word, he returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus and he healed them all. Somebody. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking. The blind could see again. And they praised the God of Israel. Father, we pray for Israel right now. You're the God of Israel, and they need, oh God, miracles, mercies, and supernatural intervention. God, would you release the armies of heaven to join them? So that, God, this does not become a battle of destruction to the Palestinians that are, oh God, not Hamas, but, oh God, the people who are innocent will be spared because of your supernatural intervention. Father, wherever in the caves and the rocks and the place where they've hidden the hostages, God, would you shed light on it? God, would you do what you did, oh God, for Paul and Silas in the prison, and let even the prison guards release them and let them step over and run and show them a path out in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's continue the reading of God's word, which is sacred. Verse 32, Jesus now feeds the 4,000. Then Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, for they will faint along the way. The disciples replied, Where could we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd? Oh, I've got to pause here, pause in the reading of God's word. I got to add two little things that I didn't even throw in the message, but I can't miss it right now. They were there for 3 days without food. There's some of us, we can't make it 3 hours without food. Oh, if I don't get food within 3 hours, I'm going to die. That's why if the church service goes a little bit long, I got to leave early, because I could surely die if I don't get some food. That's a message. But Jesus had such compassion on the people that came for the healing and the miracle and everything that they needed. People need miracles, but Jesus has compassion not only on their need that he gave them all, that he healed them all, but also he looked beyond their need and saw what their desire, what their want was. They wanted food too. He said, they'll faint. See, we've got to see what people are going through, not just what we understand in the natural. We've got to understand in the supernatural. But here's the decision now, verse 33. The disciples, the last time in Matthew, and Pastor Dominic preached it last week, the last time they questioned Jesus, they said, there is nowhere we could get enough food to feed them. Right? Remember? This time, they didn't speak that. They go, where would we go? You see the change in language? Where would we go? Where would we get enough food? This time they're like, okay, I think I've seen a miracle before. So now let's just see how God's going to do it again. That's what we got to get into if we're going to walk in the supernatural. God, I saw you do it before. I don't know how you're going to do it now, but I'm open to believing it can be and it shall be. Is there anybody that can say amen? So then Jesus asked, verse 34, how much bread do you have? And they replied, 7 loaves and a few small fish. So Jesus told all the people, sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish. Thank God for them. No matter how small it is, you know what we stop doing? Yes, let's get rid of the grumble and do the next thing that's better. Thank God for them. Broke it into pieces, gave to the disciples. They didn't question. They just began to distribute the food to the crowd. Verse 37, they all ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. And there were 4,000 men who were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Then Jesus sent the people home, and he got into a boat, and he crossed over to the region of Magadan. Father, your word is so powerful. God, if we just read your word and put it into even our today context, life changes, faith increases, and the supernatural is released. Help us to be people like that in the name of Jesus. And everyone who in agreement said, amen. Praise God, you may be seated. So 2 similar stories. Last week he preached Jesus in the remote place. And now I'll be preaching a hill overlooking the Sea of Galilee, Jesus in the seashore town. There are lessons we learned from last week's message, and I call it lessons from a prophetic voice. Pastor Dominic said to us, it's time to say, Lord, I believe it, and that settles it. Yes? Then he says, if you don't step into your destiny personally, the church will be hindered in its destiny corporately. If we don't step into the destiny that God has for us and move in the supernatural, we hinder the church from growing in the same realm. So step into the destiny by getting into the natural mindset and then stepping into the supernatural mindset. They work together. And then here, I like this, when Jesus is in a remote place, it is not remote because it then becomes a place of refreshing. There's so many people desperate and dying and frustrated. Get into the place of refreshing. That is why when we have a time of refreshing in the presence of the Lord tonight, and you sit at home doing nothingness that has no eternal value, you rob yourself of being able to move in the supernatural. And then he said, affirm God's word in your life so you can truly step into what God has for you. And then I love this part. You cannot step into fulfillment if you don't walk in faith. I just want to be fulfilled in God. Walk in faith. I'm just waiting for God to show. Walk in faith. But I wish God would just show. Walk in faith. As you walk, you step into the fulfillment. And then he continued on, and I won't go through his message because mine today is compassion. Compassion in tough times. See, Jesus could have easily finished the task of healing, delivering, setting people free, and then gone back to Galilee. If he went into Galilee because he was at the seashore. In the first one, he was in a remote place. Now he's by the seashore. If you're by the seashore, this is in those times, the seashore was where the cities were, because this is what it was a trading merchant land. They didn't have airplanes, so that everything revolved around the seashore where the boats could come in, and this is how they did all trading. So he could have easily had food for himself and said to his disciples, okay, I've healed, I've delivered, I've set them free. The lame is walking, the deaf is hearing, the mute is speaking. Those that need healing in their body have been healed, because it said he healed all. Now that I've done my job for God, allow me to go and rest somewhere and eat. And so he and his group could have just gone to any place, because in those times, and I've seen when I'm in Africa, when I'm ministering in remote places in Africa, or in village areas, and those of you know what I'm talking about, they will have women that are already cooking while I'm preaching, because it takes a while to get the food prepared. So in that context, they weren't going home to microwave. So somebody might have already been by the seashore town cooking for Jesus and his disciples. Does that make sense? So what does Jesus say? Oh, I got food at home. I got food at somebody's home. I don't have to worry about them. That's their problem. They came for 3 days. See, what we've lost is compassion in thinking about what others are going through. Somebody talk to me this morning. But Jesus never based his ministry on his own personal needs. And that is one of the problems of the kingdom. We've based the ministry of God on our personal need, and our personal needs don't seem to end. It's like the minute he blesses, we want more. The minute he gives, we need more. The minute this happens, the minute we see a miracle, we want something else. It's no longer just for us. We need to have compassion for the world and what people are going through, and begin to step out in a manner that says, God, I can step aside myself. I got enough. How many got enough here to last you a good year? If you do, come on, somebody go like this. Enough to last me. Come on, be wise. See, Jesus never based his ministry on his own personal need. He always focused on the needs of the world, on those far away and on those near. Those in Samaria were far away, he went there. Those in Judea were nearby, a next town where you don't socialize, he went there. Those in Jerusalem were his own people, he went there. Folks, and he went to the uttermost. We are going to recognize God has called us to a bigger environment than just ourselves. He didn't go to his family home just to eat and be happy and laugh and giggle. He went and said to the disciples, look, we could go take care of ourselves, but first, let's have compassion for the world. So when Jesus demonstrates it, he's showing us, he's given us a gift of love for others, just as he loves the world. And Jesus came because he what? Loved the world, that the world would love God. That's our mission, folks. Jesus had finished his task, and he said, this is what it says in Matthew. A vast crowd came to him. They were lame, they were blind, they were crippled, they couldn't speak. They laid them before Jesus. That is hard work, folks. You have no idea. When you've prayed through so many, you're ready to drop. And the people were amazed. But here's what happened. It says, the people in their amazement, 3 days of hunger, watching God do miracles, when they saw the supernatural, they praised God. This is the second time we're ending a text with the text we preached 2 weeks ago, Matthew 14:21. The woman from Tyre and Sidon who did not know God but came to know that Christ was a miracle worker. Verse 25 says, she came and she worshiped him, pleading, Lord, help me. Folks, one thing is missing in everything we do. We have separated our life from worship. Worship is an integral and a vital part of our life. In everything we do, we must worship the Lord. In our giving, we worship. In our sacrifices, we worship. In our lack, we worship. In our joy, we worship. In our sadness, we worship. In our sickness, we worship. When the woman came to Jesus, her daughter was demon-possessed. And it says she fell on her face and did what? Worship. She didn't come begging first. She worshiped. And then she began to ask. We want God to fix everything. Online crowd, especially those who are not going to church, you want God to fix everything in your life. And then you'll say, if you do it all for me, then I'll worship. That is a wrong concept. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And no matter what the circumstance, when hell breaks loose, you worship. When the devil's on your back, you worship. In fact, when the devil's on your case and on your family, that's when you worship. Shake him off. Shake him off. Stomp on him. Do your Holy Ghost dance. And get ready to see how to step into the supernatural. So let's remember something else from this story. Two stories twinned again. The woman came in worship. But here it says, when they saw the miracles of God, they worshiped. Let's remember people in many persecuted worlds, war-torn worlds, impoverished land, famine lands. You know what they're doing? They're worshiping. There are people that they, no matter what, and the problem of Canada is we have so much, we are ungrateful. Okay. Around the world, as you're looking, we do have a problem. It's a problem of North America and a problem in Europe. It's a problem in progressive lands. The more God gives us, the less we worship. But I'll tell you something. Anybody ever been on any trip to one of the third world countries? Do you know what? I was in the backwoods of Zambia, way up in the village. This is before Zambia's mines began to produce so much that is being exploited. And I remember being in a church watching this worship leader. He had torn clothes, a t-shirt that was donated, and he had it on so long and washed it so much on stone, it had no color left. He had on a pants that was all ripped up, and I'm looking at it going, God, wish I had brought some clothes, because this guy's standing up to do worship. I mean, come on. And I was looking at him going, that's a little difficult. But I'll tell you something. He got up there to do worship. And when he stood up, the heavens crescendoed with the glory of God. When he began to lead, I had tears down my face. I couldn't see the ripped pants, and I didn't see the discolored shirt. I saw a man with the glow of the glory of God upon his face. The problem is we have so much that we don't know how to worship. Oh, somebody, get your worship back, for God is in the business of the supernatural. There are many people right now in Ukraine, in Tibet. Yesterday I met with the missionaries from blank, the Garretts, Myanmar. I had breakfast with the Garretts from Myanmar. Next week you'll hear from them. And I'll tell you, they'll show you people worshiping in the midst of civil war. We're going to hear from Pastor Steve in 2 weeks, and you're going to hear of the churches exploding in Ukraine. Why are they exploding? Because when the bombs are dropping, in tough times, we must worship more, not less. Canada, we stand to be in greater disaster than all the countries of the world. Because if the wind blows the wrong way, I got to say this one. I had the blessing of driving our guest last week to Niagara Falls. Oh, I told him I was going to use this before he used it. Ah, online, he's going to share this one day, but I beat him to it. Drove him to Niagara Falls, he and his wife. They loved it, loved the falls. And in the night, we got there late. Toronto is a land of incredible traffic. 401. Do you know it took us 4 hours from here to Niagara Falls last Sunday? 4 hours. I got there. We were wasted. And we missed seeing the evening falls. They just saw it lit up in the night. But that morning, we went down to walk the falls. This is really good. We went down to walk the falls. And the falls, the water was covered on the ground. Those of you from that know what I mean, right? The water was filled on the ground. And I had told them how warm they had to dress, and we had to wear hoodie so that we didn't get the spray. And we're down there, and his wife was like, there's no spray, because we were ready for the spray. And she, you know, give me the full experience. She goes, there's no spray. And Pastor kept explaining, that's because the wind has taken the water to the other side. And so we're walking, we're there for a while, and she's taking pictures, and she's like, but there's no spray. I said, yeah, but see, last night the wind was over here, and the spray filled this all with water. And then Pastor and I looked at each other and went, oh, that preaches. So here's the message from last week. So when you have the sunshine of your life and everything's just perfect and the spray's going up and to another side and the sun is beating down on you, so you've got to take the jacket off because you're now hot. It's all good in that moment. Good to take the picture of life and praise God. But if the wind changes direction, somebody talk to me. If the wind changes direction, can you handle the spray? If the wind changes direction, are you ready for the spray? If the wind changes direction, can you handle the cold water all over your life? Are you ready for when the shift comes to Canada and you have not learned how to praise God, no matter which direction the wind is blowing? Woo, shoo, glory. Our World Assemblies of God Chairman, Reverend Dominic Yeo, I beat you to it. Church, that's really what it boils down to. Are we ready when the wind shifts in Canada? Are you spiritually dressed? Can you handle the cold water over your life? When the sun isn't beating down on your body, can you still praise God? Our expression of worship must be both in the natural and the supernatural. We worship in faith, through faith, and with faith. We worship with what we have. So the message today is compassion. So folks, faith. Faith activates faith, and compassion responds to the natural, then releases the supernatural. When we express our faith, it is also in what we do in the natural. We extend ourselves in faith and also in practicality. The disciples saw the feeding of the 5,000. So now it was easy for them to ask, okay, we're going to get something. What do we get? It was easy for them to take a few loaves and a few fish and feed a few thousand. If it was yesterday, they're like, how are we going to do this? Today, they're like, it's not how we're going to do it. We can take this little and feed the masses. Many of us are stressed out over Canada's economic status. The world is struggling. Can we begin to walk in the supernatural and begin to impact our local and our international world? I challenge you today. Don't look at what you've got. Look at who you've got. Hallelujah. We're going to go through 2 weeks of missions. And I think the best service are mission services. I think one of the things I detest more than anything else, please do not let this lead pastor hear you say it, for I will surely slap you to meet Jesus early. Oh, it's Mission Sunday, I won't come now. Do you know what that translates to? Oh, I'm all about myself. I'll just keep what I've got. And if I go, maybe compassion will come out of my heart and I might give a little of myself. And I don't want to give nothing, so it's better to stay away. That is what will destroy you and your family. And I want to encourage you today, come with a spirit of lavish giving. My family and I, we've learned from my mom from I was young. If you can't give in a little, you will never give much. Because you don't have compassion for people. My mom was a woman that would give everything away. I mean, when I was working for Air Canada, we were able to send cargo free. It was the worst thing that could ever happen to our family. She'd ask, how many passes do you have? I'm going, Ma. And she'd just load up another. This was on sale. Load up another barrel. This is on sale. And she'd send it all over. And I used to get so upset sometimes. There was once when she said, how many passes do you have left? I said, Mom, you've used up all my passes and you've sent all the barrel. She goes, how many do you have left? And I wouldn't answer. Some of my friends from Air Canada came for dinner. And she said, sweetly, fed that. She told me, invite the friends. And I invited them. And then we were sitting at dinner and they're like, oh, Mrs. Miller, your food is so good. She goes, oh, you know, I just buy things all the time on sale. And I try to send it to the islands to help people who are impoverished. But Marie has no more passes left. And she just worked me. They all gave her their passes because they had nowhere to send it, nobody to send to. And I said to her, Mom. And she goes, oh, I don't need your passes again. We got to prepare to give to the many works, both here and abroad, whether we like it or not. Today, I want to show this quick list. Ilya and Janet Banstey, our POC missionaries, relocated from the Ukraine to go to Israel. Remember, because of the war in Ukraine, they've been there for years. They had to run. They had to pack up their family and flee. So they chose, rather than come home and live at ease like the rest of us, they decided to go to Israel. What's happening now? They're busy on the front lines bringing items like these, clothing and food, energy and first aid and cooking utensils, hygiene things to the soldiers and the front lines and going down to the border. Now, we're going to look at how we can help them. They're not asking you to get these things for them because you can't get it to Israel. Okay, there's no Air Canada passes to get it there for you. The flights have stopped. What they're looking for is, can we send money? Because they can still buy it, but they need the funds to bring these things to the war-torn zone. Folks, I just share that briefly to say, next week, there's so many of these. The missionaries that I just met with, the Garretts, they were in China, remember, imprisoned. They relocated to Myanmar, and when they got there, what happened? Civil war broke out. Have they left? They crossed over to the border and are still working there. Folks, there are people who are doing what Jesus said, sacrifice for the kingdom. Our job is just to make it work for them, but we sometimes just want to go to our little family setting and make sure we eat lavishly and have everything we need and buy all the extras and amass the gold and the silver and the homes and the cars and everything, and other people are saying, where's the compassion for we are still hungry? I'm going to tell you tonight, today, folks, God is watching if we really want to step into the supernatural. We left here so excited last week that we're going to step into the supernatural, but the natural leads us into. Talk to me. The natural leads us where? Oh, come on, folks. Online knows it better. I can hear them already. The natural leads us where? If you want to see the supernatural, do the natural. How does that work? You've heard me say it before. When we do the natural, because we're not capable of the supernatural, when we do the natural, God adds the... No, no. When we do the natural, God adds the... No, no. Somebody yell it out better. When I do the natural, God adds the... No. Somebody got to get it this morning. When we do the natural, God adds the super. What makes the supernatural? The natural that God can work with puts his anointing and makes the super where you go, oh, that's amazing. Isn't super amazing? We can't do the super. That's what he does. But he's not coming down to come and put the funds or the this or the pack the boxes. Is God coming to pack the boxes for the food drive? But he will make it expand. because we did the natural. Amen? Holy Spirit, come and fill us. God, open up the wells of our lives that we, Lord God, would not only worship with what we have, worship when we don't have, but Lord, that we would have a compassion for people's physical limitations. I pray, oh God, that we would remember it's by faith, and that, Lord, what you showed us through Jesus' works on earth, that we will do even greater things. So, Father, today we just praise you. Tonight, as we come together to worship, explode in worship. We put everything aside. There is not a thing in our lives that's more important than coming together to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God, I pray, Father, oh God, stir up people to recognize that we become lax and lazy and we've become forgetful of your goodness. That is why we refuse to come and worship, but we choose to come and worship. It's our choice, and we will do it with gladness of heart. So we thank you, Lord. Now, God, teach us how to do the natural well. And to do it with a heart of compassion. So when you add the super to it, the world is amazed.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.